Investing Simplified is brought to you by Chuck Price, President and Wealth Manager of Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm and author of Investing Simplified, the book. Individual situations will vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated. Investing Simplified is the longest-running live financial show in America, with a financial advisor, an estate planning attorney, and a CPA to answer your questions for free, and is broadcast live from Portland, Oregon on affiliated stations throughout the Pacific Northwest. Chuck can be contacted by visiting www.pfgwm.com. You can email Chuck with a question at askchuck@pfgwm.com. Or you can call him right now at 503-417-9595. That's 503-417-9595. Or for our long distance and podcast listeners, you can call toll free at 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. Now, here's the host of Investing Simplified, Chuck Price.
Good morning and welcome to Investing Simplified. This is the opportunity for you to ask that question that's been keeping you up at night. Pick up the phone, give us a call. Better make sure I got the right numbers here. 503-417-9595. Toll free, 877-733-1011. And in studio with me is Kevin Stege with the Baker Colson CPA firm. Good morning, Kevin.
Hello, Chuck.
And we have on the line with us Carl Jepson, attorney at law. Carl, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. Thank you. Good morning.
Right, Carl. Well, morning. Carl, you missed the drive in today, which was a little rainy.
I don't think I really missed it.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Well, listen, I'm glad we're all in the house today. I gotta tell everybody, one of the things that we have been doing for our show is we're doing a podcast every week, and you can write this down, and you can go to a podcast. It's at thatcast.com. And on there each week, we will have a podcast. Also on there, you'll see there'll eventually be like 50 different businesses there, one of each kind, that will be doing podcasts each week. So there's a lot of variety there of podcasts. So virtually anything you've been wondering about, there's probably going to be a podcast on there you can listen to. And we'll be doing a weekly one on there, and I'll be having Kevin and Carl also doing podcasts on there, and those are recorded messages. This week, I did one, and this is for anybody facing retirement or anybody in that senior group. I did one on the big American retirement train wreck. So that's all I'm going to say about it. You got to listen to the podcast. You'll hear all about it. And if you have questions, pick up the phone and give us a call, because really what makes our show go is you picking up the phone, giving us a call. I'm going to do a quick market update here, because I think there's some things people are really missing about the economy. Unless you live in a cave and you're totally naive about what's going on, the other day the unemployment report came out at 3.7%. That is the lowest in America since 1969. Folks, that's 49 years ago, almost 50 years ago. When you think about it, that is a historical number. I don't care whether you like Donald Trump or you don't like Donald Trump. It doesn't really matter. What you ought to like is the economy. And our economy is starting to roll. And I'm going to just give a prediction here. We've sent out notices to our clients. We think the market over the next 2 years is going to do extremely well. Historically, the majority of the time, I think it's about 84% of the time, the year after a midterm election, the market goes up dramatically. So I think this next 12 months is going to be pretty good for the markets. Now, that doesn't mean we're not going to have some up and down. We are. We still got a problem with the national debt. The national debt is still increasing. However, I watch it every single week, and I report it every single week in my newsletter. And if you want to get on my newsletter, you can go to pfgwm.com, sign up for free for my newsletter. And I got to tell you, over the next few months, you're going to be getting some really good information in there. But anyway, be looking at that. You can get it for free. We'll send it to you in email. You can read it, delete it. You know, you don't have to keep it in your file or anything, but there'll be some good information in there for you. And I report about what the stock market's doing. The thing is, I also report the national debt. And the one thing I have noticed is that the national debt is actually slowing down. Now, the theory is if more people are working, more people are paying taxes, you're going to eventually start eroding on the national debt. I personally would take another vein, and it's the same thing we kind of tell our clients. It's called living within your means. I would tell the federal government they need to look at the federal government. They need to credit across the board about 10%. They need to reduce the size of government because, quite honestly, our federal government is a monster. And it is nothing but creating debt because we're overspending. So, you know, just like you need to take care of your own personal budget, the American government needs to take care of the budget for us, the people. So that's my little bit on the economy. But if you don't notice right now, there are more Americans working right now than any other time in American history. 3.7 unemployment. I was disappointed in the jobs, and I'll be unbiased on this because I didn't like it when Obama had low numbers. I don't like it when Trump's got low numbers. I'm an equal opportunist on that. And if the numbers aren't there, I'm going to tell you. And the employment numbers are not there. But the one thing I will tell you, the last 3 months, every time they've given out the numbers, they've had to, after the month ended, they had to up the numbers almost 100,000 because they were reported totally low. So in case you know, our unemployment numbers are a guess. There's no hard numbers for it.
You mean so, it's not always an exact rounding to $1,000?
Amount? You mean 1,000 people.
1,000 people, yeah.
Well, no, it's not. Yeah, it's a guess. And so, believe it or not, in this modern times, now you would think with all the technology we have, they could pretty much tell right down to the person who's working, who's not working, you know. But here's a real interesting fact. Social Security disability was going to run out in a short period of time. It's actually been extended by 2 years over the last 2 years because people have quit taking claims on Social Security because, believe it or not, they can find a job. The other exciting thing is jobs went up, I think it was 2.58%. Wages went up 2.58%. Folks, that hasn't happened in almost 20 years. So you got to be excited about that. And for the young people out there, companies are expanding and growing. So for the first time since 1969, kids coming out of school, graduating, can look at a market that needs people to come work. I think that's a big plus, Kevin.
And it's pretty interesting. I would say the number one problem most of the businesses that I am working with right now, other than exorbitantly large tax bills because they're making so much money over the last couple of years, is labor. Finding qualified labor, businesses would grow. Here we have the lowest unemployment rate that we've had since '69, and yet there are still jobs to be had. So that's...
Well, I can tell you in our industry, it's very hard to find good people, and it's hard to find experienced people. And sometimes you just have to take a flyer on somebody and train them and bring them into the business and hope that they're going to be successful, because it's tough to find qualified people. And I know there's a lot of companies out there looking for people. What was really exciting a couple weeks ago, I went to L.A. down to a Dodger game because I'm also a Dodger fan, besides being a Mariner fan. Anyway, in California, I was absolutely shocked how many help wanted signs I saw on businesses. I mean, it was startling. Folks, that has got to make you feel good if you're an American. Driving down the road, seeing help wanted signs, knowing that if somebody really, really truly wants to work in America, they can get a job.
So I'll play devil's advocate here, Chuck. So the low unemployment percent, isn't that the percent of people who want jobs that can't find them, 3 point whatever it's at right now? So possibly this equation is so low because maybe a lot of people don't want to work.
Well, I think, just my own opinion, I think about 3 to 5% of the people don't want to work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're about three to 5% of the people are crazy too, you know. So, but there's got to be a number. There are 3 to 5% of people that are just lazy, don't want to work, want to get government subsidy, you know. And the only way you solve that is pull the government subsidy and tell them they got to work. I don't think there's a thing wrong with making people work. Hard work never hurt anybody that I know of. So I think it's a good thing. And listen, I'm going to do a real quick report here. The S&P closed at 2885.57. So the S&P year-to-date is up 7.93%. It finally got ahead of the Dow. The Dow closed on 10-5 at 2644.705, and it's up 6.99% for year-to-date. These are good numbers considering the fact that we're really only into it 9 months, so that's 3 quarters. So both of these are going almost at the rate of double-digit returns. If we can get the stock market back to that 8 to 10%, that's a good thing because, folks, we've not had it consistently at those high numbers. Now, granted, there is an anniversary right now, and guess what that anniversary is this week?
Is this the Black Monday stock crash?
October 7th, 07, the stock market crash.
Oh, I thought,
yeah. Everybody says 08, but in 07 is when the market crashed, started going down. And the fact is, just kind of give you a little stand here. If you look at the S&P from 07, right there before the crash, the market is up right now over 11 years, 7.67% per year. Folks, the equity market, the stock market, the investment market is still the best place for good returns, long term. I say long term. Unless you're in a managed portfolio, then maybe short term as well. The S&P closed on 12/31/99 at 14.69. So if you go back to the turn of the century, the S&P has only returned 5.43%. The NASDAQ, everybody's talking about NASDAQ. If you haven't noticed, unless you're not watching the market, tech companies got pounded a little bit this last week. Tech companies right now, if you go back to 12/31/99, the NASDAQ is up 5.14% back to the turn of the century. That is not a good number. Not a good number for tech companies. If you look at the Dow Jones, go back to 12/31/99, the Dow Jones is up 7.32% per year since 1999, 12/31/99. Again, 7.32 is not a bad one for the Dow because that's done almost 7 to 8% the 80 years before. So they're just about on target, but the S&P is down about 20%. We're going to take a quick break and we'll come right back. We've got a caller on the line. And we're going to talk about taxes. And in our third segment, we're going to have Carl talk about Carl's comments. So we're going to come right back. We got David on the line. David, we'll be talking to you. And I think this kind of goes into Kevin because he's talking about selling the house. So we'll be right back.
We do Investing Simplified.
Are you concerned about your retirement income? Do you really understand how your Social Security benefits work? Price Financial Group Wealth Management has helped many seniors in Oregon and Washington maximize their Social Security benefits at retirement through using their Social Security seminar on demand. Now you can watch this valuable information in the comfort of your home by just going to www.pfgwm.com and click on the free Social Security kit. If you are serious about your retirement planning, you cannot afford to miss this opportunity. After all, you have invested your hard-earned dollars into Social Security all your working years. So shouldn't you get the maximum return you can get from those dollars? The future can be scary, and without a plan, It can be even scarier, especially when facing the unknown. What you don't know can hurt you. Get your free Social Security kit at pfgwm.com or call 503-253-3000.
What you don't know can hurt you. Get that investing question or that tax question answered. Call Chuck or Kevin now at 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's Chuck Price and Kevin Stagey.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified, and we'll go directly to David on the line. David, are you there?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Senior couple filing jointly, and it's time to maybe think about shedding the owner-occupied house, and we don't expect to buy another one, large or small. What is the tax bite on that, if any?
On your owner-occupied house?
Yes.
Will you be selling that for any gain, do you know? Have you had it for a while?
5 years.
Okay. So you'll be able to exclude, if you've lived in it 2 out of the last 5 years and owned it 2 out of the last 5 years, you'll be able to exclude up to $500,000 of the gain. So if you, unless you've really made a killing over the last 5 years, that should be enough to allow you to sell the house, pocket the proceeds, probably don't even have to report it on your tax return.
So the gain, is that figured roughly by the sales price and add in the improvements and then subtract that from the sale price?
Yeah, exactly. The difference between your purchase price, add in the improvements, and then the difference between that and what you sell it for, that's going to roughly be your gain.
Okay. In other words, you don't have to buy another one right away or ever.
No.
On your own or off.
Those rules are gone where you used to have to reinvest the proceeds within 2 years. Those went out a couple decades ago.
Okay. Thank you.
Very good. Thanks for the call, David.
Spend that just like cash.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Which is as good as money.
Absolutely. Yeah. As Yogi Berra said. Yeah. Good old Yogi. Hey, speaking about that, guys, I don't know if you're watching the playoffs or not, but been some exciting baseball.
Some good series.
And I won't mention my Dodgers are up 2-0 on the Braves.
Very good. Well, Carl, what do you have on tap for us today?
Well, actually, I tend to emphasize the practical. I thought I'd talk about and maybe they're not the top 10, but there are 10 practical ways to simplify your estate for your children. And I'm not talking necessarily, this is, and none of these are things that I have to do for anybody. These are really, things that you can do on your own, mostly, and not all of them, but most of them. And so the first thing is to start early. So yesterday would be good. And that's to start your planning part of this. Number two, and this is a bit tedious, but I think it's if you do this for your heirs, it's going to be a really big help to them, and that is to prepare a kind of inventory or listing of major assets, and, along with the advisor's contact information and, the location of your important papers. And, kind of like a memorandum or an index of things that you have sitting around, because a lot of times mom or dad dies and, dad forgets to do anything with what's left, or mom does, and the next thing you know, the survivor dies and they've got a gap in their record keeping for years. Then the survivor dies and the kids go in and they have to find, where are these papers and what's still current and which ones aren't. So that's a really important thing to do. And by organizing things a little bit, you can really make a big difference there. Along with that, another really good way to help them, and this is really a big savings in hassle time, is make sure that if you have a safe deposit box with important papers or valuables in it, that you have somebody who knows where the key is and also is a signer on the box, unless you don't have anybody that you can trust to sign on the box with you, but that's another story or stories. But nonetheless, it's really important because that if that key gets lost or if there's nobody that can actually sign into the box, you can find some very unusual results, and the kids have to go through quite a serious process to get into that box, depending on what the status of the estate is and things like that. But I had one case many years ago where I had actually been appointed as a personal representative, and I found among the decedent's property what appeared to me to be a safe deposit key. So I knew which bank they used, and so I wandered down to the bank, and I promptly held out my letters testamentary and said, I'm the personal representative. Here's my key. Let me in the box. And they said, oh, we don't have anybody by that name. I said, oh, well, I guess okay. So I didn't think anything of it till about 30 days later, and guess what I got in the mail? I got a copy of a bill for a safe deposit box. And so I marched down to the same bank where I got this bill and the same bank I visited before, and I grabbed the manager by the throat and said, give me the box. And good thing I did, too, because inside that box was $90,000 in savings bonds.
Whoa.
So not a bad thing. So anyway, the moral of the story is don't leave the key sitting in the sock drawer. Just, make sure somebody knows where it is. And number eight, I guess it is. I've lost track already. It's early in the morning. And I think Chuck will agree with this, and that is consolidate multiple bank financial accounts. I know there was a time when, banks failed all over the time, and Bonnie and Clyde robbed them and all that stuff. But if you have like 15 different bank accounts, unless you need that many FDIC deposit insurance, it makes it a lot easier for everybody if you can consolidate that so that they don't have to run around to, a dozen different institutions. I mean, I know there's some value in that maybe, but I don't know about you, Chuck, but we've had this problem before where people have stuff all over the place, and it's difficult to manage when somebody dies.
It's a nightmare if they're not organized.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so, it truly is.
And next step on this is shred unnecessary papers. A lot of people ask me, how long do you have to keep them? Oregon has a statute called the Statute of Ultimate Repose, which is a 10-year statute. And if you really want to be absolutely totally safe, do that. 10 years, but that's a big trouble. So a lot of people say 4 years. I think it seems to me that this 4 years is a tax statute of limitations, if I recall correctly, but it might be three. Kevin, you'll have to help me on that one.
We typically advise three for anything standard, seven if you're a business and have like payroll records, but mm-hmm. seven is usually the very extreme for us.
Yeah. Okay, well, that fits in with my thinking on it. So, anyway, this is really important. I've often wondered if it might be fun, though. You might remember many, many years ago down in Coos Bay area, a big giant whale washed up on the beach, and they tried to blow it up with dynamite.
Yes, yes.
I'm thinking if you took all those records and, took them to the beach, and that might be kind of interesting. I don't know. Anyway.
Talking about a bonfire or what?
No, oh, blow up the yeah. Blow up the records, shred them.
Okay.
Yeah, might be fun. So the other thing too is at some point you should go in and see your estate planning attorney and your CPA because it's important to have, I think, a coordinated plan or at least have the review. If the estate planning lawyer does a plan for you, then I like the CPA to review it. I, if there's something that they think would be better, I want to know about it. So,
well, I'm going to add a third cog in there. I think you want to have your financial advisor also look at it to make sure you have all the titles, all the proper beneficiaries, so that everything goes right through your estate at that time.
Absolutely. And that there that takes you back to the other one, which is if you have things consolidated, it's a whole lot easier to do that.
Amen.
So moving along there. So now to some other real practical stuff. I suggest you give your kids stuff you don't use often. For example, boats, RVs, camping gear, you know, that kind of stuff. You know, let them trip over it for a while. Also, you know, the stuff that your kids left at your place, give it back to them. If they don't want to take it back, just tell them you're going to do a garage sale, and they have, you know, 2 weeks to get their stuff back. So that way you can, you know, finish that. And the last thing, or almost the last thing you should do is clean your garage. By that time, you've done a tremendous favor to your heirs. That's Carl's comments.
Well, Carl, that's a hard task for a lot of people to clean their garage.
No kidding. It's a killer.
So the old saying of, sir, get your affairs in order because you're about to die. If your garage is in order, you're good to go. Is that right?
You're good to go. Absolutely.
I see. Well,
at least you'll go having peace of mind knowing that they'll be able to, you know, find that old exercise bicycle that hasn't been used since 1980.
I'm going to throw a hooker at you here, Carl. Now, should they get the garage done first, or should they go see their estate planning attorney, their financial advisor, or their CPA first?
Well, I think they should at least go into the garage first. And the reason because there just might be that 1967 Cobra which goes right straight to the lawyer's office. So I don't know.
So they make they bring the title into that when they come in for the appointment, right?
Absolutely, pre-signed.
Oh man,
that's a retainer.
I like it. I'll tell you. I'm one that I'm going to say this, and I'm probably going to get killed for it, but I have a pretty organized garage.
You do?
Yeah, I do. The only thing I don't have organized, I do have it organized because I have a special place for our golf club, so I do have those in the garage, and I have a place for them, and it's all squared away. So.
And if anybody's thinking of breaking in and stealing those clubs, don't, because I can tell you firsthand they don't work.
No, they don't work worth the darn. I've been trying to figure out how to make them work, and it just hasn't worked. You know, so yeah. If you, but I'm not going to offer them for free. But anyway, hey, listen, we're going to take a quick break and come right back with the tax investigator. However, if you have a question for Carl, Kevin, or Chuck, pick up the phone, give us a call. We're here to answer your questions. And there is no foolish question when it comes to your estate planning, your taxes, or your money. So give us a call, 503-417-9595. Toll free, 877-733-1011 for all you podcast listeners or long-distance callers. We'll be right back with Investing Simplified.
Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Coulson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Coulson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We are located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercoulson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercoulson.com, 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Coulson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
Here's your opportunity to ask Kevin Stege, CPA and shareholder of the Baker Coulson CPA firm, that tax question that's been keeping you up at night. You can call Kevin, 503-417-9595, or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's the CPA with the tax answers, Kevin Stege.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified.
You like that new introduction?
I like the new intro. I feel empowered. I feel like the accountant, Ben Affleck, you know, that whole thing.
Well, let's not go too far.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Ah, very good. Well, you've been working on cleaning our show up. I probably need to get a new ad. I'm sick of hearing my ad. That's been running since we were at the old station. So
don't know what you mean.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
503-417-9595 or 877-733-1011. The phones have been quiet, but we would like to have your calls, tax, legal, financial, advising. Carl, you are a plethora of practicality. And I'd have to say, just listening to you has motivated me. And, you know, I probably can't get all 10 of those things done, especially the cleaning the garage part, mainly because I probably shouldn't say this, but my wife has taken over my garage. So I have no place. But, if you can't do all 10, at least do all 9. And if you can't do 9, do 8. Or, you know, start with something. Get a couple of those.
Do one and then 2 at a time. Yeah. Don't overload.
You start very small, but that's good. Yeah. Yes. Those are great things, Carl. And I always enjoy hearing what you have to say. I think that's a good information to have. We're going to take a caller. We have a question regarding a living trust. David, are you there?
Yes.
Ah, hello. I think we've talked with you before.
Yes, we called earlier, and I told the telephone man it's a slow day, so if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to ask one more question. And here it is, and see what you guys think. My wife and I have had, since 1990, a revocable living trust. And yes, Carl, it's been examined over the years and updated and redone, and it fits everything, at least as far as we know. I hope the lawyers I paid did the job. But here's the question. We have a stock company or an investment company that you, I think they might have a local office, but we've just dealt with the 800 number. And they took over from another one that they bought. And it says on there that the trust is listed, but then it's got the word owner, and it's just got my name. And is that a concern? I mean, the we had the trust buy those securities. Mm-hmm. What do you suggest I do?
Well, David, I think one of the things that does bother me, and that is anytime there's this corporate change where there's an acquisition by one company of another, it's always good then to go back and review things like your beneficiary designation, you know, because, for example, like an IRA wouldn't go in the trust. It would, you might make the trust a beneficiary of that, but you might not.
Yeah, just stocks, Carl. Just stocks. No, nothing else.
Okay, so it's you know, and they don't always have, you know, like listed on the statements how it should be in there, and I don't know whether that's just a peculiar or particular practice of the company, but it should be titled in the name of the trust, and it should technically should read something like this. It should read David and David's wife trustees of the David and wife's trust dated 1990. As the title holder. Now, a lot of times they abbreviate a bunch of that stuff on the statement so that it fits on there. So I right. think it would be well worth your while to contact a representative or your representative and have them give you some, even if it's just an email that says, yes, it's in the trust, it's titled in the name of the trust, and you're good to go. Mostly because of that possibility that the records got kind of confused over the acquisition part of it.
Yeah, David, this is Chuck Price, and Carl's exactly right. A lot of times on buyouts and exchanges, those things get screwed up. I've seen it in the banks, and I've seen it also in the brokerage firms. You need to make a call to them and verify that the trust is the owner of the account, and you and your wife are trustees, or you, or however you have it, but make sure that the trust actually owns those stocks.
Well, I talked to someone there who said he was reasonably high up in the corporation in the telephone answering area, the account services, and he said, yes, the trust is the owner, but they can't make a phone call to the trust. They have to call someone, and so that's why they listed my name as owner.
Okay, well, then you want to make sure that's true, but normally they would have said your name as trustee, not owner.
Yes.
Usually the owner is the trust. You're the contact person, which is the trustee. That's how
Correct. Most
of our brokerage accounts. So what I would do is I'd call them back and say, please send me a letter confirming that, yes, my account's all in the trust, and I am designated as the trustee.
Along with my wife.
Along with your wife, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, Chuck.
You bet. Get it in writing. Yep.
Excellent question. That's one of those things that I've seen be problematic for people.
I got to tell you,
yes.
David's called a lot, and
he's
asked some really great questions. And, you know, the nice thing about David calling and asking is people are afraid to call because they think somebody's going to know who they are or something on the air. But he actually helps a lot of people because I guarantee you, out of the thousands and thousands of people that are listening to our show, there are probably 30 or 40 that have that same concern he has, but they're just a little shy to call. So we appreciate David calling.
Very good. Very good. Well, today on the Tax Investigator, I am not going to get political, but I did have to read the New York Times expose on Donald Trump's taxes. As an expert, that kind of piqued my interest. I tend to try to stay away from most news that revolves around the political stuff because it's just political propaganda, one side or the other, and it is what it is. And however, this has some deep ties into an area that I'm an expert in, and anytime there's something that touches the tax or accounting world on a large scale, it is interesting to take a look and see if you can learn something.
I'm going to interrupt you here because I have a concern as an American citizen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little upset that somebody at the New York Times or somebody who gave them a story was able to access somebody's tax returns. Because isn't that a violation of the law?
Releasing the New York Times about a year or more ago received confidential copies of his certain years of his tax returns. And I think as a taxpayer, that would be a little disconcerting. So,
yeah, I don't really want a Gestapo running governmental agencies where they're going to go after people and be able to pull our individual stuff. That's scary to me.
Yeah. Regardless of who's in office, the IRS, the state tax revenue
I would have said the exact same thing if they did that to Barack Obama. I would have been upset because that, to me, is violating his rights as a citizen of the United States.
Yeah, that's right. But to have the IRS, the FBI, the state taxing authorities used as political pawns is we can't have that. So those types of things really do need to stop. But in regards to this article, as I read through it, I can save our listeners some time. In fact, they can use it as fire starter if they like, because from an expert point of view, with no political viewpoint in mind, and just looking at reading the article, what has been called dubious tax positions and tax schemes. I see everything in here. This is stuff that we've done with our clients for years at any firm I've ever worked with. Pretty straightforward, standard stuff. They seem to couch it in inflammatory, emotional terms that make you think there's something nefarious going on. But I just see some pretty good standard tax planning from an estate point of view and from a business point of view. So
you actually read all 32 pages.
I read the whole thing.
Yeah,
I read the whole thing. And
you know, the problem is you could make anything, any tax thing that somebody does, you could paint it with a dark picture. But the fact is, if it's legal by the IRS, and my understanding is all these were contested through the IRS and the IRS approved them. So if if the IRS approved them, what the heck is the New York Times doing questioning what the IRS is approving or disapproving?
That's right. And so I want to give one example, and this was one of the key things that other news organizations picked up on and said, in this expose, this is one of the things where they tried to summarize it to say there was a problem. And so I looked at that pretty closely, and it was a scenario where you've got Fred Trump, the father, who has a very large estate, and the younger Trump children that he's trying to pass this estate on to upon his eventual demise with the lowest possible tax rate. And they developed a scenario where Fred Trump's real estate holdings, they need to do significant improvements throughout the years. They have to buy refrigerators and boilers. They used a boiler as an example to improve the places. And they standard business, they'd go out and buy them, and that's that. But they created a second company owned by the kids who would buy the materials and then sell it at a 20 to 50% markup to Fred Trump's real estate company so that they can make those improvements. And the New York Times painted that as if the so say the kids company buys it for $100 and they sell it to Fred for $150. Now they've moved $50 from Fred's estate or his empire, what have you, to the kids' company.
Yeah, but they had to pay income tax on that
Chuck,
money.
Chuck, you stole
right?
my thunder.
Oh, sorry.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just common sense,
yeah.
Chuck.
I mean,
I'll say it this way. Even you saw that.
I feel very good.
Exactly.
Yeah, I feel very good.
So the article says they escaped gift taxes by shifting $50 to this other company. They paid current income taxes on it. So, I mean, this is not nefarious. This is every farm in the...
What were the income taxes at that time? 70%?
Exactly.
Yeah,
I'm sure they were lower than the 55% gift tax at the time or whatever it was. But that just makes sense. Pay 30 or 40% income tax now to save 55% down the road.
But the point is, what was done was totally legal.
Yeah, there were some other things about they really wanted to make a point about Trump wasn't self-made. Do you think there's anybody in the country that believes that Trump only ever used $1 million of his dad's money and never, and that's the only reason he got voted in to be president, because we really believed he was a self-made million? Come on, this is anyway. So
yeah.
we'll let this one.
Well, that's what amazes me is there are a couple of foundations in America where, for example, like the Kennedys have a foundation. They don't pay any tax. They don't pay any property tax. They don't pay any income tax. And they continue to do that. Why isn't the New York Times doing an expose on them, particularly when they've had several people break the law and they defend them in those foundations? And, most people don't have that advantage.
That's right.
Well, with that, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with the Knowledge Trust. If you've got a question, pick up the phone, give us a call, 503-417-9595, toll-free 877-733-1011. This is the only financial show on the weekend that you can actually call and talk live and ask a question. So give us a call. This is your opportunity. Don't let it go by.
Navigating through today's financial investment world can seem pretty scary. Now, here's the good news. Chuck Price, president of Price Financial Group Wealth Management, introduces a new revolutionary concept that will change how you invest now and in the future. It's called Asset Lock. Asset Lock monitors your investment accounts 24/7, 365, and alerts you when action needs to be taken. And now, Chuck Price offers Asset Lock. At Price Financial Group Wealth Management, we believe all our clients deserve to have Asset Lock monitoring their accounts. So call Chuck today or online at pfgwm.com and learn how you can get Asset Lock on your accounts today for free. Price Financial Group Wealth Management, because the smart investor knows what you don't know can hurt you.
Simplify.
Call 503-253-3000. That's 503-253-3000.
What you don't know can hurt you. Get that investing question or that tax question answered. Call Chuck or Kevin now at 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's Chuck Price and Kevin Stagey.
And we also have Carl Jepson on the line, so they just pushed the wrong button there for our threesome. But we're all three here available to answer a question if you've got one, but Kevin, we're going to kind of get back to that story, and I remember hearing on a news report, a reporter reporting how bad it was that the Trump family actually did family limited partnerships, and I kind of laughed because back at that time, that was about one of the few ways you had of moving stuff out of your estate and transferring it to your family on a tax advantage. And we had clients who did that with property buildings that were worth millions of dollars all the time.
Yep.
So that was a pretty standard practice we did back then. And I thought, how lame.
Yeah, but it sure was. And the idea behind the family limited partnerships is that somebody holds a minority interest instead of Fred Trump holding 100% and it's valued at 100% when he dies. He holds 49%, and now he has a minority interest, which is supposedly worth less than actually 49% of the asset, and so there's a discount applied. What that discount is where the rubber meets the road, and it can be anywhere from 20 to 40 or more percent, but the higher the percent, the more likely you've got to really prove that to the IRS, and it sounds like this was all scrutinized, so... And Carl, I know you've family limited partnerships was something that you've even probably given seminars on before. I remember there used to be tons of seminars out there about how to do family limited partnerships.
Yeah, they were really one of those really cool things for a while. But you know what people do now more than that is they just use a limited liability company, an LLC.
Yeah,
and but I think that, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the notion of the discounting has come under a little bit more scrutiny by the IRS, and they're much less inclined to give you the big percentage discount anymore than they used to be. So I think the estimate of how much you can discount it has to be a little bit more conservative than it used to be.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think we'll lay this one to rest. This doesn't mean that everything they've done has been absolutely perfect or that we're trying to say that. All I'm saying is this story, there's no story here, at least from what they've put out. So,
well, we've got a caller on the line. Kristen's got a question about the difference between qualified and non-qualified and investment traditional money in a Roth IRA. So, Kristen, did I kind of read that correctly, or did you have anything else to add to that?
Well, that's correct. I just had a quick question. The terms are often thrown about qualified versus non-qualified. I'm not really sure in 25 words or less what the difference of those two. And the second thing, in retirement zone, is it better to use up money in a traditional IRA or a Roth IRA in terms of leaving it to your heirs?
Okay, good questions all the way around. Now, here's simply the way to decide between qualified and non-qualified. A qualified plan is something that you put money into on a pre-tax basis. You put it in before taxes, and when you take it out of that qualified plan, you're going to pay the income tax you didn't pay on it before. That's a very simple way. A non-qualified plan is a plan that you put money into and you're putting it in with after-tax dollars.
You can think of qualified as it qualifies before the IRS to get favorable tax treat current favorable tax treatment. Yep. Deferral, basically.
Yeah, that's very simple. And now as far as using the Roth or the IRA when you retire, there again, we're going to bring the accountant in because a lot of it's going to depend on what your income is and how long your income is. And let me give you an example. I had a client who had a 10-year contract when they retired, and they received a substantial amount of money for 10 years. Well, that put them in a very high tax bracket So there's no advantage to take. They had to take their RMD because they're 70 and a half. But
correct.
Their Roth, they didn't touch it because they're in a higher tax bracket. And actually, we couldn't convert it because the taxes were so much higher than they were going to be afterwards. So, and there was no way to defer it because it wasn't income, you know, ordinary income. So it all depends on your income, wouldn't you say, Kevin?
Absolutely. And it's very nice to pass a Roth IRA onto your kids if you can. It's completely tax-free to them. I believe RMDs actually do kick in on a
yes,
Roth.
They do.
Yeah.
Yeah, for kids or grandkids even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's taxable to your estate. But, boy, that's nice to have tax-free money that they can tap into.
So, again, it just was a little bit unclear. A Roth IRA is also considered a qualified plan?
Qualified plans typically refer to a plan that is offered through an employer. You're typically IRAs and Roth IRAs are kind of a separate part of the tax code. Qualified plans are usually under the 401 something.
Well, and to complicate that even worse, you can have a 401k that you can put a Roth contribution.
That's very good.
So,
but that would be a qualified plan.
But it's a qualified plan. But in that case, if you're doing a Roth contribution, it's all with after tax money. So to put money into a Roth, you have to pay the taxes first. Then you get the tax treatment on the growth.
Got it. Okay. Yep. Hey, listen, thanks a lot. I appreciate the info.
Oh, good questions. Thank you very much for asking. There's a lot of people out there that are confused on this. And really, you know, I was talking to somebody about this week about doing some conversion. In fact, I sent you a client that I'm wanting them to do some conversions because their taxes are just going to keep going up and up and up. And listen, folks, right now we are in a relatively very low income tax with the new tax code. I mean, it's lower than it's been in a long, long time. And so believe me, when the powers to be change, we are probably going to get a substantial tax increase. So for all you people that are looking at Roth conversions, I would say over the next 2 years for sure, maybe the next 6 years, hopefully, are going to be a good time for you to do Roth conversions because we're in a relatively low tax bracket. And that could change. And the way a Roth really comes out on a conversion is if you're going to be in a higher bracket later, right? That's yep. What really makes sense on the Roth conversion.
Yeah.
If you're not going to be in a higher tax bracket, it's not a big advantage to do a Roth conversion.
Yeah.
So that's it, and longevity.
Yeah. In general, as I've reviewed 2017 information under the lens of the new 2018 tax laws for literally hundreds of taxpayers and clients, in general, Oregon is not going to see as much of a tax benefit as a number of the other states around the country because we're losing this. We're capped at $10,000 on the state income tax deduction on your Schedule A. But in general, most people have seen, are going to save money a little bit or a fair amount. The only ones that go up is there's a small circle of people that miss the itemized deduction stuff. But my very high income taxpayers, their tax bill is going to go up.
Well, listen, I was just going to give a shameless plug here for next week. Next week, I'm going to have Michael Standard, who's a senior reverse mortgage specialist, on. We're going to talk about everything you want to know about reverse mortgages. If you've thought about a reverse mortgage or you got questions about it, believe me, this is not your mother and father's reverse mortgage. It's totally different. There's been changes. You need to hear this program next week. And if you're a senior, you own your home, or you pretty much have it paid off, you don't want to miss next week's show. We're going to have Michael Standard on talking about reverse mortgages. 2 weeks from this weekend, we're going to have Sherry McCants on investing in your health. Carl, how's somebody get a hold of you?
Telephone number 971-229-0585, and the website is carljepsonlaw.com.
Kevin?
We are at 503-666-5569, and you would be calling Baker and Colson, and we can be found on the web at baker-colson, colson.com.
Okay, my number is 503-253-3000 or 877 50Price, and you can reach us on pfgwm.com. And don't forget to go to pfgwm.com, sign up for our newsletter, also listen to our podcast, and you can listen to every show we've done on our library, on our show library. So you can listen to those shows. Thank you very much for listening, and God bless you all, and be safe out there.
You can listen to past shows of Investing Simplified or sign up for our free newsletter at www.pfgwm.com. This show was brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 103, Portland, Oregon, 97216, 503-253-3000 or 877-50-PRICE. Investing Simplified is a registered trademark owned by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated.